I want to take you to this passage in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1, where we have been reading and studying together as a congregation. Now, in Mark chapter 1, verse 40, through the end of the chapter, verse 45, we get to through the story of a leopard. And I was thinking, Lord, how can we learn from this section of the scripture, and what is what you're telling us to do? So I feel like God is giving us some direction through the scripture. Pray for me. Pray for the church. But I'm going to read through this passage and just share a couple of thoughts with you here this morning. It says, "And a leper came to him," to Jesus, "imploring him, and kneeling said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them.' But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in a desolate place, in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter." So we look at this passage here, and in this amazing story, we look at a man, the leper, who is in a desperate condition, seeking the providence of God in the midst of this tragic situation that he was in. And obviously the passage, you know, just explains it all really beautiful. In mercy, God manifested his power and compassion. And in the middle of the leper's condition, he just went and healed him, just gave him the restoration that he needed. And I was thinking about this passage and thinking of what's going on here. And for the last, you know, for the last 3 or 4 months, you know, we've been going through a lot as the world and the nation and the church. And I don't know about you, but, you know, some weeks it's kind of tough to be on front of the news and watch what's going on in the world and the division and the confusion and all that's going on. And so I kind of took a lighter approach to news in the last few weeks. You know, just kind of go through it a little bit, but just focus in the Lord as much as I can. And then this week, you know, if you saw the news, there are protests going on and, you know, a lot of stuff going on in the nation. And you can see that there is a lot of need in our nation, you know. I just want to speak of that this morning, you know. I was praying through the week and just saying, Lord, I mean, are we to be looking at this and just standing like nothing's going on? I mean, what is the role of the church in all this? You know, you see the division and the hate and the anger. And really, the soil, the ground is ripe for disaster. I mean, either coronavirus or a killing, a wrongful killing, you know, in the middle of a street or something, creates all this anger and hate. And I think people is ready to reject authority in many ways, you know. And obviously the life of a person matters, but does it have to be this drastic and this violent? And, you know, as I was looking at the need, not only the need, you know, in what's going on in the nation, but as I went to, my wife and I, you know, in the last couple of Fridays, we just took the time to go to Grand Lake and just walk around the lake a little bit and they take the kids out. And there is a lot of need in people, you know. And when I say this, you know, some people don't even realize that. There were people hiking and you know, drinking early, you know, on the day, and some of them dancing over there. And I just saw the music going on and I saw people. Some of them are desperate for an answer. Some of them are fighting and confused. Some of them are just acting like nothing's going on in the world. And really, I think, Lord, what is going on around us? And as I look at everything, just kind of sitting down and praying and asking God for direction, I was thinking, Lord, we really need your providence in our nation. We need your church to stand up and preach and proclaim the gospel, the good news of Christ. And we need to be more careful and more united than ever as a congregation. You know, even coming back to church this morning, you know, there are challenges and there are different opinions and different ideas of how this is to be done. And I thought, Lord, allow us to seek your face and allow us to make the best out of this time and to build one another in love and edify one another with the truth in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we have this story here, the story of a leper man who obviously is in a desperate condition and he needs a miracle. He needs a miracle real bad in his life. And that can only happen through the provision of God. So let's look for a minute here on our need for a miracle in the provision of God. We look at the verse there, the first verse in chapter 1, verse 40, the verse that we look at. And it says, a leper came to Jesus imploring him and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Now just let's focus for a minute in the situation in which he is. You know, what a tragic situation he was in. Suffering from leprosy. And when we look at this sickness, leprosy is a disease which causes damage to the skin and the muscles and the peripheral nervous system, and it affects the limbs of your body eventually. This disease develops very slow, from 6 months to 40 years sometimes. And something that happens is the skin starts getting lesions and deformities. And then it affects the cooler places of the body, like the eyes and the nose and, you know, the fingers and the hands and earlobes and all that. And then they kind of get infectious, and then you hit yourself with something else and the infection is there all the time. You're not aware of it because you lost your sensitivity, and eventually parts of your body just fall off. They fall off. And when we look at this thing, you know, that we don't see very often, especially here in America, although I was surprised to read that there are more than 180 cases of leprosy in the world. But when we look at these lesions and deformities, they can disfigure the body and the shape of a person in such a way that historically people have always rejected these individuals. And that was not only, this is not only through society and culture, but actually the Bible is clear that leper people should be outside of the towns and the city and dwell alone. We're going to see that, dwell alone in different places. Now we look at this and we see a man with a terrible situation, going from bad to worse, obviously, and he's in a serious need of a miracle. Now, as we look at miracles in the Bible and the will of the Lord in regard to our needs, we have to reconcile God's perfect will with the suffering that exists in this world. And let me tell you, I think what we see going on in America and what we see going on in the world is just a result of obviously the sinful condition, and this is obviously causing suffering and deception and anger and all this division and all this. This is suffering, and we need a miracle. But we need to understand what is the will of the Lord in regard to the fallen nature of man and the suffering, the sicknesses that is taking place, and not only sicknesses, but just the hate, you know, and the rejection of many, you know, like we see, like the sick people, the lepers. What was the reason for this? And those are hard questions that we sometimes wonder why God allowed these things and how does this take place and what is the way to get out of them. Anyways, when I think of sickness and suffering, I know that in the Bible I read they are designed for the manifestation of the glory of God through God's provision. Think about this. There is a need, there is suffering, and this suffering is designed for the manifestation of the glory of God through His provision. But I want you to read with me this passage in John 9, and it's so clear what's going on here. John 9, 1 through 3, and it is in your notes, but you can go to your Bible if you want to. Now it says in verse 1 that as Jesus passed by, He saw a man blind from birth. This man was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now look at Jesus' answer there. He says, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And I look at this and I want to look at every sickness and difficult circumstance that we face and see, whether in our personal life, in a church, or in the world. Everything that's going on is meant for the power of God, for the works of God to be displayed. Either in us, or in the church, or in a nation, the people of Israel throughout history. And we live in a broken world, obviously. And obviously there is sin. Sin brought sickness and corruption into the world. There is the attack of the enemy. And yes, there is consequences of sin, sometimes in the life of people. The Bible says that when we take communion, for example, with the wrong attitude, not being Christians, many are sick or many are asleep. Many have died for that very reason. And you know, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13, it says, if famine comes on the land because of your sin, or if pestilences come because of the sinful nature of your nation, the situation of the nation of Israel, God sometimes uses things to bring us to Him. So I want you to think about this for a moment. God either causes sometimes pain to come to the life of people, and sometimes He allows it. And that's how I see it in the Bible. But every time, in every circumstance, when we see a need or suffering or a difficult situation, whether in our personal life, physically or spiritually or emotionally, or in a nation or in a church, it is for the works of God to be displayed, to be manifested. Now, there are obviously many little details that kind of fall in the cracks, and we wonder why this, why that. In every case is obviously an isolated case in many ways, because we don't understand everything. There are many things that we don't understand in regard to suffering in the world. God's word, though, calls us to trust in Him in the midst of our suffering and to find in Him the provision that allows us to experience His purpose. When we see something that we don't understand, we are to trust in Him in the midst of that situation, but also to find His provision, to go out of that situation and to ask for the purpose of God in the midst of that situation. Isaiah 55, 8 to 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." How many of you think there is a purpose from God in everything that is taking place around us? Whether it's very difficult, horrible, or painful, there is always a purpose of God. And our thoughts are not His thoughts. Our ideas about what should be done are not God's ideas. So what I want to do this morning is just invite you to reflect for a moment in this. You know, there is a problem, but beyond the problem, there is always a purpose from God. And when we understand the problem and the purpose of God, I think we will be led by God to seek for His providence, for His provision, for His manifestation of power in what's going on. And I think, you know, we're getting more freedom now as a church, and in the fact that we can get together, and the freedom has been there to proclaim, okay, and to share the gospel with many. And God has used this time for us to reach people that we weren't reaching. But God obviously is opening the opportunity for us to come back together as a church. But one thing that would be really sad is that we will just let this time go by and think it was just nothing, and not really realize God is maybe calling our attention for something. And in what's going on this very week in our nation, we need to ask the Lord, God, what are you doing? And we're not questioning God, but we are asking God, what are you doing? And what are we supposed to be doing through this time and through this situation that is going on in the world right now? Now, suffering in the world or in a nation or in a person causes many to question and disbelieve God. That's always the question that comes up. If God is powerful, if He is sovereign, and if He's in control of everything, why will He allow violence or suffering or evil in the world? And that's the question that everybody asks, whether in a debate or when you are in a conversation about the gospel. But for people who know that God is real, and many know that God is real, many more than really acknowledge, they know that God is real. For those that know that God is real, it's not really their disbelief in the existence of God that question God. But I really think, and I found this in my experience with people, often they are rejecting to agree to God's terms. That's really the reason. Many people question God and justify their actions by why or because God allows this or that. But let me tell you something. When you know that God is real and you understand that He is all-knowing, all-powerful, almighty, yet He allows these things And according to the Bible, He allows them for our good and our growth. We need to surrender everything to the Lord and say, God, You know better than I. And I want to trust You. I want to trust You. I do not want to argue with the way You are working in this world. I believe that God is all-powerful. Do you believe that? I believe that God can stop coronavirus today, right now. I believe that God can stop all this division in the nation right now, in one moment. I believe it. But I also believe that God, the Lord that can stop it, He is the one who's sustaining it right now. He is the one who's allowing it right now. And He's the one who's just letting us go through this. And really, we need to slow down and ask God, is there a purpose through this? And if You really seek, there will be a purpose through that. I don't understand God. I don't understand His commandments in some way. I tell you that. And I don't understand my circumstances very often. And one thing I need to understand is this. Do I trust Him though? Do I trust Him in this very situation? Is there a purpose in sickness? Is there a purpose in division? Is there a purpose in what's taking place around me? Is there a purpose in suffering, when we have to go through suffering or challenging times? Well, when you look at the story of Job, and I love that story because Job is a righteous man in the earth, fearful to God, and he obeys God in everything He's commanding him. Yet the Lord chooses to take Job through one of the most difficult circumstances. And when you look at the story of Job, he gives one verse, and I really love that verse, when the enemy comes and takes this blow to him, killing his 10 children and taking everything he had in one moment, and God allowed it. God allowed it. And it says in verse 22 of chapter 1 of Job, in all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Because Job worshiped the Lord and he said, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. I will bless the Lord through this time. I'm going to trust God. Now he had no idea what was going on, but he did not sin or charge God with wrongdoing. He is trusting that God is in control. He is trusting at this point in time that he needs to surrender and he needs to find a way out. But God knows what he's doing. And unless we believe that there is a purpose in suffering, we will not make sense of what's going on around us. We will not find a way out of this situation. And we go back to Mark and look at this man, Mark, chapter 1, the leper. He had suffered. He had experienced pain like we don't understand. He had lived isolated, away from a family, from friends, from a job. He lost everything. He lost everything there. And he's been there for many years. And at one point in time, in his desperation, he comes seeking for the providence of God. So what's going on when we try to reconcile God's perfect will with our suffering? I mean, why is this going on? Well, I think one of the reasons that suffering is allowed in our lives, you know, is that a greater degree of humility comes with suffering in our lives. And just sensitivity, just the willingness to be discernment with discerning minds and the willingness to surrender everything to God and say, God, I want to be used by You. I want to find a way out of this. But I think there is purpose in suffering, and I think there is also humility in suffering in a very clear way. And that's something that you see in the life of these men in Mark chapter 1. Now, why do I say this about humility? Looking in Psalm 119 verse 71, it says, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn Your statutes. Look at the verse. It is good. It's beneficial when affliction and difficult times come to us so that we may learn the ways and the statutes and the commandments of the Lord. Are you aware of that? I remember very early in ministry when we were starting the Hispanic ministry and I was sharing on Sundays, and I think it was probably couple months down the road that Pastor Doug said, there is a man who has come to the YMCA and he's a friend of mine. He's a good pastor and I like to have him preach and share with us. And would you be willing to have him in the Spanish service? And I said, yeah, absolutely. I can take a great break. I'm learning and I was just scrambling to go through things. But anyways, these men came to share with us. His name was Alex Rodriguez from Argentina, and he was a friend of Doug. And I remember when he came and stand up here and he said, can I use a stool because I am sick? to sit down while I share this morning. And I was surprised because, you know, I always see men sharing and preaching standing, but he was sick. Anyways, he used his story to share with us that night about suffering and how important it is to understand suffering in our lives. Now, I was paying a lot of attention, you know. It's like when you don't know how to cook and all of a sudden you have to cook for the first time and you think, man, I should have paid attention when I saw people cooking. Well, now I'm 2-3 months in ministry and I've been doing it for 2-3 months and I'm like, I need to know how to share. Well, I'm really paying attention to this guy. So his message, his story really, you know, got stuck in my heart. But anyways, I remember him sharing and he said, you know, I used to be a man that when I was sick, I would say sickness, whether it was, you know, a cold or fever, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Get away from me and I am healed now. He said, that's the way I used to pray. And he said, you know, there are so many people that pray like that and I don't mind. That's the way they prayed. But he said, one day, I've been a Christian. He was sharing a story. He said, I was a Christian for a few years. One day, I woke up really sick. And, you know, I just did my prayer. And I said, fever, get away. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I am free in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he said, but that sickness was so heavy that then I went back to the Lord and I prayed, Lord, I pray that you rebuke this sickness in your name. Please make me free right now. And then he felt like he was going to be okay. Well, he said, that afternoon, I was so sick in my bed, not being able to stand up. He said, I just, from the bed where I was, I begged to the Lord. I said, Lord, if you will, please be merciful to me. I don't know what's going on in my body, but will you heal me? He said, there is a progression of humility when we are experiencing suffering in our lives. Do you agree with that? You know, sometimes we think we got it all under control. And sometimes we think we can overcome anything in our lives. But when we go through difficult things, you know, there is a degree of humility that comes with that suffering. Look in Psalm 119. It says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. I keep your word. See, without affliction, we go in whatever direction we feel like. But, you know, when God afflicts us and let affliction come in us, we keep your word. Often our suffering is part of God's protection and correction. He's guarding us from, you know, I think at this point in time, God is really guarding the church from just losing the purpose and the focus that the church needs to have. I mean, like, for example, you know, we were all gathering on Sundays and having a great time of worship and coming to church. But when we, for the first time, experienced a restriction in gatherings in America, how many of you realize how important this gathering? How many of you long for the time to go back to church, right? So that's why it is important to understand the suffering or the circumstances that come to us are meant by God as a protection and correction. In James 2:5, the Bible says, listen, my beloved brother, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? Not only humility takes place in us when there is affliction, but actually when we are poor, when we are experiencing difficult times, we grow in faith. We become rich in faith. We exercise our faith. And, you know, I think really our suffering stimulates faith. Whether, you know, many people don't pray for healing unless they're sick. So God is going to allow sickness in their lives. Many people don't seek the time to be alone with God unless they have problems. Well, God is going to allow a measure of problems in their lives so that they learn to seek Him and depend on Him because God loves us. Amen? He wants the best for us. So God blesses those that are poor and in a way those that are humble. In Matthew chapter 5 verse 3 it says, blessed are the poor in spirit for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Pride is normal in mankind. Pride is very normal and it is an obstacle to the manifestation of God's kingdom in our lives. So what we see in the life of the leper is he was sick, God allowed his sickness. He is in a time of desperation waiting for an opportunity for a miracle. He hears Jesus is doing miracles in Capernaum and in the villages and he sees him and he says, this is my time. He humbles himself. He's not arrogant. He doesn't go and points at Jesus and says, why would you allow this to happen to me? No, he goes with humility and he says, Lord, if you will, you can clean me. I mean, it's up to you, Lord, right now. Here I am. Look at my condition. In James 5, 10 and 11, it says, as an example of suffering and patience. Now, this is another, let me tell you what I'm trying to tell you here now is, through any suffering, God is good. God is compassionate. Look at this. James 5, 10 and 11. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider these men to be blessed who remain steadfast. And it says, you have heard of the steadfastness of Job. And you have seen the purpose of the Lord. How the Lord is compassionate and merciful. I mean, I touched a little bit in the story of Job. But here we have James speaking about it. And he said, God had a purpose in the life of Job. Job remained steadfast in that difficult time. And through everything in that picture, God was compassionate and merciful. In the midst of our suffering, God is not only good, but always compassionate and merciful. Always. He's always dealing with us in compassion. He's not letting us go through suffering because he says, you deserve it like that. No. He wants us to understand and to be sensitive to him. In fact, in Psalm 145 verse 9, the Bible says that the Lord is good to all. He is good to all. And he has mercy over everything that he has created. In other versions, he says, over all his works. That's God. God is always dealing with us. Even when he allows suffering and difficult challenges, he is dealing with us in a compassionate way. Now, let me bring it to what we are experiencing right now. You think God is compassionate to this nation right now? You think his compassion is still with us? Why will he allow what's going on right now? The rioting and the anger and the sickness. More than 100,000 people died of coronavirus in a few months. Why is God allowing this to take place? The division in the government and all this. I don't know yet. But am I seeking for an opportunity to ask for the providence of God? Am I seeing this as God calling us to seek for a miracle and to pray for a miracle? Are we relating our circumstances to the purpose and the power of God? Do we see the need? Are we asking for provision? Are we expecting for a miracle in America right now? We will never see the providence of God at work in our lives unless we start moving and praying and expecting in accordance to the will of God. That's something that you see in the Bible. I mean, you look at Abraham, and you know, there is a need in the life of Abraham. He is a man who doesn't have a son. Sarah is barren. And God says, I will bless you. And then Abraham opened his heart, and he says, Lord, how will you bless me? I have no children. I have no children. And God says, well, I will bless you, and I'm going to give you a child. And through that child, I'm going to bless the nations. I mean, David, he goes to the middle of the field and he encounters a difficult situation in the battlefield. And he says, why is nobody standing up against this Philistine? And he says, I will go and fight with these men. And let me tell you, there is suffering, there is difficult circumstances, there is the purpose of the Lord, and there is always a man or two or few who will align under the will of God and start seeking for provision. Are we that generation right now? Are we? I mean, are we the ones that are going to stand up and say, Lord, there is some difficult situations in America, in the world, and in the church. And we believe there is a purpose of you through this. But are we going to stand up and be an Esther? Be an Esther who stands up and says, if I die, I die. But I will ask people to fast and pray for me. And I believe that God called me for such a time as this. And I'm going to stand up and go to the king, to the emperor. And I'm going to ask him for freedom for my people. Why will God allow this? Why will God allow Mordecai and the whole Jewish nation to go through such persecution in that time? You know what I see? I see that God was expecting someone to be moving, praying, and expecting according to his will. And that was Mordecai and Esther. But did they see the hand of the Lord? Amen. They saw the hand of the Lord. Are we coming to Him regardless of our difficulty and suffering? And that really shows how close we are to God, if we have a relationship or not with Him. When we look at this, it says, a leper came to Him. He came to Him. Through the circumstances, He came to Him, imploring Him and kneeling. And He said to Him, if You will, You can make me clean, Lord. I'm here. I need You. Beyond the disease itself, the condition of the leper had deprived him not only of health, but of name and occupation and family and fellowship and worship community. How do we react right now to what's going on around us? That's something that we need to ask ourselves. Are we humbled by our many needs and realize that God is sovereign and wise? Are we seeking for God to do a miracle right now? Think about this. Jesus was there in the moment when the leper should have asked Him. He was there. And I think God is with us right now. He's waiting for us to pray for something, to seek for something. And I think this is a time when we need to seek for a miracle. And you know, when I look at this, God is very compassionate to us. I want to touch a little more into this. We see that Jesus, when this man came, He was moved by pity. And He stretched out His hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Jesus, I mean, I look at this passage and I just thought about this and I thought, Lord, what an amazing thing. You weren't moved by the people around you. You weren't moved by the ugliness of the sickness or because you wanted it to show that you had the power. At this point in time and in this particular illustration here, Jesus was moved by pity. The thing that the source of the miracle here is not the way the leper prayed. It's not the way he came and asked for the miracle. Yes, he was humble. He expected a miracle. He knew that God could do it. But really, Jesus is moved by pity. And He revealed His compassion to him. Now, Jesus revealed that His compassion was greater than the commandment of the law. Why do I say this? Because in Leviticus chapter 13, verse 45 and 46, look what it says in regard to these people who were lepers. The leper's person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has a disease. So not only you're sick, but you are unclean according to the law. And you are repudiated by everyone because of what you have. And in order for them to know how sick you are, you should let your hair grow. Don't fix it. Don't cut it. And also your clothes should be torn. And it says, he shall remain unclean as long as he has a disease. He is unclean. He should live alone. I mean, think about the pressure, the pain, the suffering. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp, not in a house. That's the life this man was living. And he came to Jesus, and Jesus had pity on him. What a beautiful picture of the love of God. One thing, you know, that we need to understand is God wants us to seek Him. And He wants us to know Him more. But as we realize that, we need to understand God is compassionate. Have we ever had a need in our lives where we waited and we trusted and asked God with conviction and experienced the providence of God? Have we experienced a miracle of God in our lives? Do we believe in miracles right now? Can we trust God for a miracle right now? The leper came to Jesus in faith, knowing that it was possible that he will not get a miracle. Maybe a reproof. Nevertheless, he desperately begged Jesus for his healing. He trusted in the Lord and he received the answer he needed. And you know what? What was the biggest answer? It was not the cleaning. It was not the healing. It was really the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus touched him. He didn't have to touch him. He healed many by sending him away or washing in a pool. He did many, many forms of healing. But at this point in time, because of his compassion, Jesus touched the man. Let me ask you a question. You know, we're going to finish here. I thought it was going to be a short message, but let me finish here this morning. Are we compassionate? I mean, really, think about this. When you watch the news this week, were you compassionate of what's going on around? Were you? Because we are. the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Amen? Right? Were we compassionate of the police force, you know? Did we pray for them these days? Are we praying for the division of races that exists still in some ways in this place? If we say it doesn't, we're maybe blind to what's going on. There are problems. Are we compassionate to the 100,000 people that have died in the last 4 months of coronavirus? Or are we saying, well, many people die? Let me tell you, that's the wrong approach. There are people who have lost their health and their lives. And yes, we know that there is a disproportion in what's going on in the news and everything else. But are we compassionate about the government as well? On how they should take their decisions. And I mean, there is unrest going on right now. And really, when we look at that, we need to say, there is no hope in the physical. But are we seeking for a miracle right now? Are we waiting for God to move? And let me tell you, we are the church. And I believe God wants to bring a miracle to the nation and to the church. There are so many people that have forsaken Christianity. There are so many people who are away from Jesus Christ. You know, as we finish here, these men had a miracle. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said, "See that you said nothing to anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." You know, let's pray for a miracle that becomes such a big thing, you know, that is a proof to those who are not trusting God. Wouldn't that be awesome? That we don't have to stand up and say what God did, but that rather they have to see what God did and say, wow, God is real. God is mighty. The church is standing up and shining like a light and bringing truth and wisdom and unity in the midst of division. He charged him to not say anything, but he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. What a miracle. If God makes a miracle, if we seek for a miracle and God manifests his power through this time, what an amazing thing it would be to see that everyone comes to God seeking for more, hungry and desperate. And I'm afraid we are in the midst of distress and unrest and pain, but I'm afraid we're not hungry and thirsty for righteousness yet. I'm afraid we will waste this time to proclaim the gospel of Christ. I'm afraid that we went through all this time and come back to church and the purpose of God was not accomplished in the church. I'm afraid of that. And I want to invite you to pray. And I want to invite you to seek the purpose of God through what's going on around us. Would you do it with me this morning? Let's pray as our worship team comes. And let's just worship God and give Him praise, but also beg Him. You know, right where you are, right there. You know, if you're feeling like standing up or kneeling down, that's okay too. But you know, right where you are, let's just consecrate a little time here and say, God, we need you. We need you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're not blind to the unrest, the division, the difference of opinions that exist around us, Lord. The media, many lies too, Lord, many lies. Disproportion in what's going on, Lord, and what is being said. The lack of faith, Lord. The lack of respect for authority too, Lord. But also the abuse, Lord, of many, Lord, that have the power. We are not unaware of what's going on. And in all these, Lord, we are not unaware, Lord, that we have some pride. And we feel like we will come up with answers and ways to be okay after this, Lord, rather than humbling ourselves to you. Lord, this morning, I pray and I ask you, we beg you together, Lord, as this small group of brothers and sisters are here, Lord, in this first service, we pray that you will fulfill your purpose in your church for this time, Lord. Lord, we pray that we would be the generation that rises up, Lord, and shines in the middle of darkness. We pray, Lord, that we would be the people that starts moving and starts seeking and expecting, Lord, in accordance to your will at this point in time. Obviously, Lord, there are many aspects of what's going on that we don't understand, we don't know, we don't see, Lord. We don't. But Lord, would you give us understanding and wisdom and discernment in what's going on? And would you give us a word of courage and boldness, but overall of healing and compassion, Lord? Allow us to proclaim your name with freedom and with boldness, Lord. And allow us to stand up, Lord. Not only, Lord, focus on what's going on around us or the difficult circumstances, but focusing on your attributes, your greatness, your grace, your power, Father. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray for these things. And Lord, as we come back together, and this is our first Sunday, Lord, we want to pray this morning, Lord, that you build us again. That you give our spirit, Lord, the strength and the joy and the hope that we need, Lord, to continue to gather together, Lord. But also, Lord, the unity. It takes a lot to be united. It takes a lot to really be together with everyone, Lord. Because there are so many different opinions about how we should do things. But Lord, we pray that rather than being prideful or arrogant or opinionated, Lord, that we would humble ourselves to you and seek for the best in others, Lord. And seek for the protection of others, but also for the edifying in the lives of other people. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity you're giving us. And Lord, we want to use it in the best, Lord, of our opportunities, in the best of our options. We want to just go forth and do your will in your mighty name, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word. Your word is direction to us at any moment. I thank you, Lord, that you're giving us an understanding that you are working and you're making miracles, and you're still, Lord, calling us to seek your will. Lord, anoint us. And Lord, in a mighty way, Father, pour your spirit on your church. Raise your church in America, Lord. You can only do that. We cannot do anything in our own strength, Lord. It is impossible for us. So fill us anew, Lord, with the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand up and just worship the Lord with this last song.